Na 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 Batgirl. Na 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 Batgirl.
No, it's Batman.
No, it's Batgirl. Listen. Na 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 Batgirl.
No, I told you it's Batman.
No, it's Oracle.
What?
Yeah, na-na-na-na-na-na-na, Oracle.
It doesn't even work.
It totally does, because this geek history lesson on Barbara Gordon is now in session. And welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason. No, I'm more than a librarian. Sometimes I wear tights. Inman, welcome to your Mind University. We can't say that on this podcast because this podcast, Geek History Lesson, the one that you're listening to right now that's called Geek History Lesson, that
no
you didn't
way.
Probably know is called Geek History Lesson, is about taking a character of pop culture and we give you their history, their fears, their favorite toys, everything you need to know about that character, and we do it in about an hour, sometimes longer than an hour, sometimes more. But today's character, Ashley, is one that is very favorite to your heart.
It is. She is very near and dear to my heart. It is Miss Barbara Gordon. Yay, DC.
Otherwise known as Batgirl.
Batgirl, otherwise known as Oracle, but more on that later.
Yeah, okay, so this is cool. So we're going to break down everything you need to know about Barbara Gordon, Batgirl. But before we get to that, really quickly, I want to give a quick shout out to Devin Kranz, and his Twitter is at Devin Kranz, DevanKranz. I hope I am saying that right, Devin.
Hello, Devin.
Devin is one of our patrons over at patreon.com/Jawin, JAWIIN, where you can support the show. And he is one of our valued supporters. I thought I would give him a shout and a thank you for supporting this lovely podcast, for making Barbara Gordon
possible.
Possible. He's
single-handedly.
Single-handedly. It is him. He returned the right book at the Gotham Public Library at the right time so librarian Barbara Gordon could get paid.
Devin Kranz, I hope you put that in your Twitter biography and I hope you link us to it. single-handedly responsible for Barbara Gordon.
Cool. So let's jump right into our podcast. The first section, of course, is the 10-cent origin.
Yes.
Ashley, what is the 10-cent origin?
The 10-cent origin is where we tell you all the basic caveats, interests, and fears of the characters that you need to know.
Yes, and so this one will be all about Barbara Gordon. Really Cliff Notes version if you never go to a really sexy, cool cocktail party and need to talk about Barbara Gordon.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Barbara Babs Gordon, a.k.a. Batgirl, a.k.a. Oracle, is the daughter of Jim Gordon, commissioner, policeman, important dude in Gotham City. Her first appearance was in Detective Comics number 359 in January of 1967. Fun fact, she had a bat purse that only appeared in that issue, and I have that cover on a dress. She was created by Gardner Fox and Carmine Infantino.
Ooh, Carmine Infantino.
That's why she looks so rad.
He's a legend.
And we will talk more about Carmine Infantino very shortly.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Her team affiliations include the Bat Family, my favorite of all families, except maybe my family, Birds of Prey, Seven Soldiers of Victory, Suicide Squad, Justice League, and Batman Incorporated, one of Jason's favorite
things. She wasn't a Teen Titan?
No. She was never, she was, she's kind of been retconned to have been a part of Young Justice. She was never a Titan.
Oh, okay.
That was strictly the boys' club.
Okay, cool.
Her abilities include genius-level intellect, highly skilled martial artist, computer hacker, and expert detective. And her aliases include Amy Beddoes, B-E-D-D-O-E-S, in case you ever need to use that to sign into a hotel, Batgirl, and Oracle.
Nice.
And that is the 10-cent origin of Barbara Gordon. And yes, I did kind of breeze through that because of all the characters that we've covered, Babs, I would say, is one of the more well-known characters.
Yeah, I could say that. Real quick, before we get any further into the podcast, I just wanted to say that if you are a regular listener of Geek History Lesson, you might notice that this podcast sounds a little bit different from the rest. That's because we are in a new recording location.
Yay!
And we are trying to make everything sound as good as it is. Not all the sound panels are up. The room is not situated the way we need it to be situated. So if you notice a little bit of echo, notice a little bit of different sounding stuff, that is why.
But we wanted to bring you this episode this week on Barbara Gordon.
We didn't want to wait. Okay, cool. So that's all the 10-cent origin
that
of Barbara Gordon?
That is. We can move on to the meet cute.
Cool. The meet cute is a term that we stole from romantic comedies, which basically says where we first met the character that we're talking about.
Yes.
And the character we were talking about is Barbara Gordon. So,
yes.
Ashley, where did you first meet Barbara Gordon, aka Batgirl.
Where I first met all of the Bat Family characters in Batman the Animated Series.
All right, okay.
Which was great because at that point, as I've talked about, I had the conundrum about whether to be Robin or kiss Robin. And if you were Batgirl, then you could kiss Robin.
You can kiss Robin?
Totally. We're not going to talk too much about that. We'll talk a little bit about Dick Grayson, but you could kiss Robin, and that was a cool thing to do.
Great.
Very much like that idea. And the animated series was a huge part of my childhood, so that's, you know, why I keep bringing it up. We like it a lot. That's why we talk about it a lot on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, I first met Batgirl. Man, this is a tough one.
Right, because she's kind of like Batman and Superman. You're like, I feel like I always kind of
knew. Yeah, I kind of always known her. And to be honest with you, if I was a more prepared podcaster, I would have thought about this before the show. But I like it live and loose.
Nice.
People. Just like Batgirl.
Wizard Magazine?
No, it's not Wizard Magazine. I first encountered Oracle during Nightfall.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember picking up Batman number 500, which is where Azrael first puts on that crazy 90s suit that was designed by Joe Quesada, the one that looks like the ultimate thing of the 90s with the thigh pouch belt.
The one that they have brought back for the current Batgirl costume.
Yes, did they?
Yes.
They brought it back for Stephanie Brown.
Steph Brown has it, and then
does Barbara Gordon
Babs
have it now?
Now sometimes has it.
Weird.
Depending on who's drawing her.
Okay. And Oracle's in that issue. Tim talks to her a couple times.
Yeah.
And then also, like, I remember not realizing who she was until Contagion, mm-hmm. which was a later storyline, and because that was a big, I believe that's the first storyline, it's either that one or No Man's Land, where Tim first meets Barbara face to face.
I think it's No Man's Land.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of the,
because he's got to go rescue her because she's stuck in the clock tower.
It's one of the two.
Yeah.
But before then, I just thought she was just the computer girl that helped Batman. I didn't realize that she was Batgirl.
The first Batgirl.
Yeah, it wasn't until like Cassandra Cain showed up and they started like, oh, there's this other Batgirl. And Barbara was like, Bruce, there's another Batgirl. What are you doing?
Yeah, because Batgirl, because she like tacitly approves of Cassandra Cain.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting because I think that they're a lot less clear about Barbara's history than they are with, like with the Nightwing, you know he was the first Robin. They're very clear about Dick's status as a legacy character,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to Barbara. Barbs, I was going to say.
Babs.
That's not a name.
Babs Gordon.
Yes.
But that's where I first met Barbara. Cool.
Cool.
So let's move on to History 101, the main meat of this lesson, where you're going to learn everything you need to know in a summarized hour by Professor Ashley. Professor Ashley, please turn on your overhead projector and show us the notes of Batgirl.
I can't make that hum that an overhead projector, you know, from the fan. Okay, can you do that for the next hour or so?
And then you pull out your markers and
okay. Yeah, yeah, and then your teacher inevitably like licks her thumb to fix a mistake, and it's really kind of gross. Stop. Okay, so two caveats before we start the lesson.
Oh no, we haven't even started yet, Teach.
I know, but sometimes there are caveats, and with Babs, there are definitely caveats.
Got it.
Number one, like with some lessons, I'm going to talk in equal parts about the publishing history and the creative teams as about the character history herself.
I actually really like it when we do that. I think it's fascinating.
So do I, but sometimes they don't have an interesting publisher. Like Batman just freaking got published forever.
Well, when we ever do our Batman lesson and you learn about the trial.
This six-part
Batman epic saga. Batman saga. And part one, you learn about the trials and tribulations of Bill Finger. Then,
oh, yeah,
then
yeah.
You'll think it's interesting.
But you know, like, because Batman was consistently published, so
yep. Batman will be like six parts. That it's gonna
and
be
Superman.
It's gonna be like a month of Batman.
That'll be awesome. Everything is better with Batman.
Oh man.
So there's that. That's to look forward to. And two, I'm not going to talk much about her relationship with Dick Grayson, which
no.
is kind of I know, which is kind of an on again off again thing.
Oh.
In previous lessons that may or may not rhyme with Starfire, we talked a lot about that character's relationship with Dick Grayson because that is really mm-hmm. what defines Starfire.
And
as
we've
a character.
Already done a previous lesson on Nightwing.
We have
Dick
a great that you taught great episode, which
Thank you
can go back and listen to. You're welcome. It's actually one of my favorites.
Is it
catalog.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That and Hawkeye are my two favorites.
I like Starfire too. I think Starfire is one of our better ones too. Which is what you did.
I did. But so because I think Barbara has kind of moved past being defined by her relationship with Dick, I'm going to try to focus more on her and less on her being defined by a man.
Okay.
So we'll
You're
talk
just
about
focusing
it.
On the lady.
Yes. We will
Got
talk
it.
About it a little bit because you can't escape it, but it's not going to be the framing of this podcast.
Okay. Interesting.
So there was an editor at DC named Julius Schwartz.
Julius
which
Schwartz.
Which is probably the most, you know, like 60s New York name I've ever heard.
Sure.
And Julia Schwartz was asked by the people behind Batman, the TV series.
Batman 66.
Following the publication of Seduction of the Innocent, which was a book that criticized Batman and Robin as being homosexual and comics for corrupting our youth and blah, 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 blah.
Which is the reason why Aunt Harriet was introduced in the TV show, because they didn't think... sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. Please.
They didn't think that two young men living in a mansion all day, three if you count Alfred.
Yes.
Was
that straight?
Wasn't straight.
Yeah.
So they were like, we got to have this old dopey aunt on there so that people will be like, oh, they're totally straight.
They were like, oh no, the gays.
Yep. Batman can't be gay.
They could smell RuPaul coming. It was
Man,
so
wait
great.
Till part seven of the Batman lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all about Batman gay.
So Julia Schwartz was asked by the people in charge of the Batman 66 TV show to create a young female character to kind of tone down the possibly homo element and to attract female viewers to the TV show because they didn't have a big female audience, which was, you know, something that they attract more of then than they do now.
Uh-huh.
Batwoman and her sidekick Batgirl, and at the time Batgirl, two words with a dash in between, as opposed to now Batgirl, one word, no dash, had existed in the comics previous to this. Bill Finger invented them. They appeared in about five stories.
Bill Finger invented everything.
Everything you like about Batman.
Yep, he invented.
So he'd invented them and he'd used them. And this same editor, Julia Schwartz, had shunted them off because he stated that the female Bat characters were, quote, dated and, quote, unrealistic.
Interesting.
And then he basically had to be like, oh, no, and bring them back.
Ah.
So executive producer William Dozier,
yep.
D-O-Z-I-E-R.
You'll hear a lot of people when they talk about the 1966 Batman series, they'll actually call it the Bill Dozier series.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Much like
he's the showrunner. He was basically the showrunner.
Yes. So he suggested integrating Batgirl into the show's third season and making her Jim Gordon's daughter. That was his idea.
Ah.
Because he had visited the DC office and artist Carmine Infantino had drawn a character design of Batgirl, and he had it up in his little cubicle thing, and he liked it so much that he just bought the design and was like, put her in there, cast Yvonne Craig, who sadly, at the time of this recording, passed away not too long ago, and that's where that classic costume comes from.
Nice.
And he also redesigned her costume for comics when she made her first comic appearance.
Nice. Fun fact, Batgirl joined Batman 66, they added her to the opening theme song.
Yes, they did.
And so you could tell which episode she was going to be in by whether Batgirl was in the opening credits.
She would ride through on her motorcycle.
She'd ride through on her motorcycle. Yeah, yeah.
And Kevin Smith tells a really funny story on Fat Man on Batman about how like those would be his favorite episodes because he knew that Batgirl was coming.
Because his sexy adolescent brain would be like, ooh, Batgirl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, anyways.
I lost my spot because I think that story is hilarious.
It is hilarious.
As mentioned earlier, Batgirl first appeared in print in a story called The Million Dollar Debut of Batgirl.
Ooh, $1 million.
Now, Jason, what happened in this story was, dressed like a female version of Batman on her way to a costume party, like you do with your bat purse,
right.
Barbara Gordon saves Bruce Wayne from being kidnapped by Killer Moth. She kicks the snot out of Killer Moth. And Batman later appears costumed to Batgirl and tells her that because she's a girl, she shouldn't be fighting crime. And she's like, nuts to you, mister. I've got moxie. And decides to stay on as Batgirl. And he's just
does she actually say I got moxie?
She doesn't. I've read that. It's actually a really great issue.
Okay, okay.
Even though like,
She doesn't or does?
She doesn't.
Damn it. I was hoping that was the line.
I wish.
Okay.
No, and then Batman's like, okay, you can be on my team.
I guess you can be on my team.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
you
yeah.
girl.
Yeah.
You girl that keeps saying moxie to me.
Yeah. So, an interesting thing.
Well, I wanted to play act. Okay.
Well, we can play act a little bit later.
Continue to educate us about Batgirl. It's fine.
Yes. So, pretty quickly, Batgirl started appearing in backup stories, like we still have today, little six-page stories, kind of capping off the end of an issue. In Detective Comics, she would trade off with Robin. This went on for about 50 issues.
Nice.
And fans liked her so much that they wrote in and they demanded a series.
Cool.
And let it be known that until the New 52, Barbara Gordon did not get a standalone Batgirl series. She was always a supporting player.
Really?
As Batgirl. Yeah, her first standalone Batgirl series was the launch of the New 52 with Gil Simone's story.
Oh, so they didn't give her a series.
No, they did not. But Julia Schwartz, the one who uncreated Batgirl and then brought her back for the TV show and then created her again in comics.
Yep.
Took credit by saying, I would like to say a few words about the reaction some readers have had to Batgirl. These readers who remember Batwoman and the other Batgirls from years back, they were there because romance seemed to be needed in Batman's life. But thanks to the big change and a foresighted editor himself, these hapless females are gone for good. In their place stands a girl who is a capable crime fighter, a far cry from Batwoman who constantly needed rescuing by Batman. but he wouldn't give her her own series. So just a little bit of a hypocriticism on behalf
you know,
of
I will
Mr. Schwartz.
I will say, I don't like Kathy Kane, Batwoman.
I like her newer incarnation.
I like the Grant Morrison version of her.
Yes.
Yes.
But I'll agree with you.
Yeah. I don't like the original version of that one.
And they do bring her back in the...
That's nuts. I didn't realize that about the Barbara Gordon series. Wow.
I know. It blew my... Because I didn't know that either.
It seems weird, doesn't it?
Because there are Detective Comics series where it says Batgirl in the logo, but it's Detective Comics presents Batgirl in blah, 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 the title of the adventure. But Batgirl... We'll talk about the first Batgirl standalone series, and it's not her. It's a different
Robin
Batgirl.
And Robin beat her by like 20 years because of the Tim Drake
yes,
series.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a little disconcerting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even if you think about the Teen Titans, because the Teen Titans is led by Robin, which was being published.
No, yeah, but it wasn't called Robin.
No. But
like, it just seems
we never had Babs leading a team.
It seems crazy that like somewhere in the 70s, we didn't have a Batgirl series.
Nope, never.
Wow, that's nuts. All right, cool.
So a little bit of fictional history on Barbara Gordon. At the time of her conception, she has a PhD in library science, and she works at the
character's conception, not the baby's
She's
conception.
She's born with a PhD, man. Okay. It just happens.
It's like,
it's
oh
the
my
60s.
God. She is so smart.
She's a smart, smart love child.
All right.
And works at the Gotham City Library,
yep.
And she is focused on her career. And it has been stated by several people inside DC that the Gotham City Public Library is the largest library that exists in the DC universe.
Eat that, Metropolis.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just thought that was really interesting. And then it made me think of like Bart Allen running around reading all the books.
You think bookworm Clark Kent's got enough books? No, we got them over here in Gotham, yo. In the hood.
With our hot library. Yeah, in the hood for real.
You're going to get killed on the way to the Gotham Public Library, but you're going to enjoy that Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah.
We got 17 copies.
That's why everyone's always being shot. That's a really bad joke. I'm so sorry. Like I mentioned a little bit ago, she becomes a regular part of Detective Comics in issue 384, which is published in February of
1969.
Yes. Alternating backup stories with Dick Grayson all the way through issue 404. Frank Robbins is the man who wrote almost all of her backups, and her original run of backup stories was drawn by Gil Kane, and after that, Don Heck, two very, very well-known and respected DC artists.
Did Mr. Robbins also write Robin?
No.
Oh.
I actually don't know. I would assume that since he was writing these backups,
he probably
wrote the Dick Grayson backups.
I was just curious. Yeah. It's all right.
Someone will tell us on our Facebook
page. I'm certain they will. We have very educated listeners.
Yes. Barbara Gordon exceeded the popularity of the previous Batgirl. Fans demanded that she get her own series. Like I said, it didn't happen. But she does appear in several series throughout the 60s and 70s.
Okay.
But like a lot of characters that we've talked about, none of this really goes on to develop her as a character. But I think it's interesting. I'm going to list all of the titles that she appeared in, but she still didn't get her own series.
Okay.
Detective Comics, mm-hmm. Justice League of America, World's Finest, Brave and the Bold, Action Comics, and Superman. And Barbara Gordon, which is something that I didn't know, is a character who's very, very tied to Clark Kent. We're actually going to talk about Superman quite a bit coming up.
All right.
And I didn't... Well,
did they do a book exchange?
Maybe.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait to this.
And I didn't really... Like, I knew that she had ties to... During the 60s and 70s, she goes on a lot of adventures with Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Crisis on Infinite Earth, they retcon that because Supergirl doesn't come to... Earth during that time,
yeah,
they say that it was Power Girl.
They keep changing, yeah.
But it makes sense that you're going to pair up, you know, Batgirl and Supergirl. But I didn't realize that Batgirl and Superman were such a thing.
Interesting.
But you know, Jason,
I don't know
if our listeners want to be Supermans or Superwomans. There is something that they can do for this podcast.
Is that get a library card at the Gotham Public Library?
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Knowledge is power.
It's also what they can do is they can get knowledge is power. You know, this podcast, we said very early, is supported by a Patreon.
It is.
That also supports our videos, which we have video versions of Geek History Lesson over at youtube.com/Jawin. But if you go to patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, there's a lot of new perks.
There are.
And there's
cool.
A brand new perk that has not existed until this week, and that is Geek History Lesson Extra.
What extra could there possibly be?
Well, if you go over to our Patreon and you give us $5 a month, because we don't do it per episode, because we release a weekly podcast and a weekly video.
So that's $1.25 per episode.
That's $1.25 per episode. Yes, correct. Good with the numbers.
I can math.
You will get a Patreon exclusive podcast, Geek History Lesson Extra, and they will be tied into the episode. So The week this episode comes out, on the Patreon, if you're a $5 listener or above, you which we'll always accept more. That's great.
Right.
you will get another podcast. I'd say we don't know about the length right now. I would say about, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. More podcast talking about stuff from this podcast. So there will be a Batgirl Geek History Lesson extra.
What?
But you can only get it on the Patreon. It's not going to be on iTunes. It's not going to be on Stitcher. And that's the $5 level above. And if you think $5 is too much, we also have the $3 level Patreon. Mm-hmm. And that means you get the Geek History Lesson podcast a day or two early. So, you know, our Geek History Lessons come out on Monday night, Tuesday morning.
Depending on your time zone.
Depending on your time zone. You'll get the Geek History Lesson podcast on Sundays, possibly Saturdays, depending on my schedule.
Wow.
So $3, $5, every little bit helps coming back to the Geek History Lesson headquarters, like helps us soundproof this room. And also we have some goals on there. We eventually want to videotape this. So you can see us talking during this podcast. We want to eventually turn this
into cool theme t-shirts.
Yes. Ashley is actually wearing a Robin t-shirt and I'm wearing a Better Call Murdoch t-shirt, which I'll let you infer what that is. But we eventually want to tape this. So $5, Geek History Lesson extra. You can only find it there. $3, get this episode a day earlier. Patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. A big thank you to all our patrons who already support us.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're so awesome. You help keep the lights on the Mind University on.
Literally.
On. Yes, yes, there you go. Thank you all. Now back to the Gotham Public Library.
Back to the Silver Age.
To Batgirl, the lesson on Batgirl.
Yes, during the Silver Age in Detective Comics. I don't have the exact issue. I'm really sorry. Somebody told me on Facebook.
And here, I thought this was extra already.
Barbara reveals her identity as Batgirl to her father, Jim Gordon, who, of course, already had deduced that she was the female vigilante of Gotham City.
Well, he is a detective.
He is, and I would argue that he is a detective on par with Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that he knows the identity of all of the Bat family.
I believe he does.
Mm-hmm. But more on that in our discussion.
Cool.
She also, I found this fascinating, and I don't know much about American politics, but Barbara Gordon serves as a member of the United States House of Representatives during the Silver Age.
Hey, man.
Moves from Gotham to Washington, D.C., where she continues to do her Batgirl stuff.
That's awesome.
And she had her final story in Batgirl's Last Case, published in June of 1972. Thank you so much for listening. Episode over.
Oh, cool.
So fast, like 20 minutes.
Wow, all right.
Just kidding, because it's comics.
Oh, good.
She returned to comics in Superman, number 268, the next year. So she was out of continuity.
She had a very short retirement.
Yeah,
all right,
her political career was like so. She was like, I'm better at punching bad guys. So she moved back to Gotham.
Filibusters don't quite fit right with me. Okay.
Yeah, no. So she appeared in Superman because she went on a blind date with Clark Kent. And in a similar story where they don't know each other's identities, Batgirl teamed up with Superman. So it kind of makes me feel icky on the inside that like Barbara Gordon and Clark Kent are going on a date.
Clark Kent is a farm boy. He's a gentleman.
He's hot.
He never. We're not discussing his attractiveness. Get your mind out of the gutter. He's a gentleman. He's very polite. I bet he brought dandelions.
She's from the city.
I bet he held her hand.
Dandelions are weeds.
He's a farm boy. He doesn't know no better.
Okay, look, you're a farm boy. Do you know the difference between dandelions and daisies?
Dandelions are pretty.
They are pretty.
Well, see, there you go. Ain't no buddy business happening on the Superman Batgirl date.
I have not read this issue, but I'm assuming that they went to a book reading.
We are gonna,
and held hands.
We are gonna read this issue. Like, this is awesome.
This might be a good theater class issue.
What is the
Superman 268?
Superman 268.
From 1973.
Here's my promise right now.
Okay. Live in the recording of this episode.
Yeah, and this might fall apart. If we can find this issue on Comixology, we will read it in the extra.
Okay.
Because it sounds awesome.
Okay. We got about 40 minutes until we can try to do that.
Cool. But I mean, if you're listening like in the future, like it could be immediately for you.
All right. Hello, future people. So moving on to 1975. Batgirl starred in a title called The Batman Family. I didn't know that was the actual title of a book.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a thing that people said.
No.
It only ran for 3 years.
I've actually said for years, I wish there was now, right now, a Batman family and a Superman family books. Obviously,
I agree.
You can't call them that because it's a little bit dated.
It's a little 70s,
but
right?
But that's what they need to be.
I actually looked up these issues. The Batman family issues are pretty easy to find and they're pretty cheap for Silver Age books. So cool. I might start collecting them.
Nice.
She stars in the series alongside Dick Grayson Robin, who cool. she has sort of romantic trysts with because at this point, they're both like... early 20s, late teens, kind of where they live until the 90s.
Dick Grayson is about, he would have been 18 because he's still Robin. He's not Nightwing yet.
Yes, and Babs is older than him, so she's maybe 20.
She's maybe 20.
21.
She's maybe 20. Dick Grayson supposedly leaves Robin when he's 18.
Yes, so they're palling around. They're being superhero partners. They're kind of kissing. And throughout the series, they are referred to as the dynamic duo for the first time taking the moniker away from Batman and Robin and giving it to Batgirl and Robin.
Eat that, Batman!
Which I think is kind of cute. After the Batman family series was canceled due to a lack of readership.
Oh, so they said. Damn it.
Barbara continued to appear in Detective Comics. She's always in Detective Comics, up until
she's a detective.
The New 52.
That's great.
I know, but because she didn't live in Batman or Robin and because she didn't live in the Batman titles regularly, she was one of the main players of Detective Comics consistently. She continues appearing in Detective Comics through issue 519, which came out in October of 1982. So we made a little time jump.
Yeah, a little bit of a time jump there.
And here's the thing about Detective Comics. Okay. I really like Detective Comics. I read it on and off. I go back and I binge read it. Detective Comics is largely standalone, one and done stories.
Mostly, yes.
Making a generalization.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is why we don't have a lot of character development for Barbara. We had this like weird thing where she went off and
because it's just about the case of the week.
Yeah, and became a report. So she's consistently doing detective work. She's consistently doing vigilante stuff.
She's constantly checking books back in.
Exactly. She's going, she's going in and out of major events, which are not yet a big thing. But she doesn't do much progressing as far as her character.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
No, but I just feel like it's worth mentioning because some of the men get to do that.
Well, I mean, I think that's essentially a function of the Silver Age.
It is.
Is that a lot of those characters are... underdeveloped.
Yes.
Because it's all about the single issue storyline. The stories aren't serialized yet.
No, they're not. We're right about to get to that though, because we're at 1985 and the important thing
1985
about
1985 or 95?
85.
85, thank you.
And the important thing about 85 is Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yep.
Can you tell us about that in 3 sentences or less?
I get 3 sentences.
You get 3 sentences because we've done this so much.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Crisis on Infinite Earths. This is not the first sentence. Here we go. Here we go. First sentence. The entire DC multiverse was being eaten by the Anti-Monitor. He ate it all. A bunch of heroes died. Somehow he farted out a singular universe, and that's the DC universe we now see.
That's
done.
The best description of Crisis on Infinite Earths I've ever heard. Oh my god! I hope DC. I hope you're listening. Jason works for you. Please quote him on the back of your next print.
You know they're releasing a hardcover version of it here pretty soon.
And he somehow managed to fart out one universe.
Oh man,
that was amazing!
Thank you.
You're so talented.
I hope. Oh shucks.
Barbara unfortunately doesn't play a big part in Crisis on Infinite Earths, but she does do one really important thing.
What's that?
One of the defining events of Crisis on Infinite Earths, besides the farting out of the new universe,
happen to like issue 10.
Yeah. Is that Supergirl dies?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
She dies in issue 6 and in issue 7.
The original Supergirl.
Yes.
Yeah.
More on that in the Supergirl podcast.
Headband,
friggin' workout Supergirl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have a Supergirl podcast coming soon, too.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
In issue 7, Barbara as Batgirl is the one who delivers Supergirl's eulogy because they were close friends. They often teamed up.
Okay.
And that's the most significant thing that she does. And Crisis on Infinite Earths, if you read it now, is a little bit dated, but that is still... I went and looked at it again before this
It's a tough read.
But her eulogy, it's really beautiful. It's really worth, if you're going to skip the rest of it, like, look at that scene. Issue 7, really good.
I will say this about Crisis on Infinite Earths. It's tough to read if you're not a DC zombie.
It's true.
Because you're going to miss. But here's the thing. I think any DC Comics fan, if you have any interest in DC Comics, should eventually read that book.
I agree, because it sets the stage. And this, along with Secret Wars for Marvel,
yep.
for all of the events to come,
yep.
for all the event fatigue that we have now,
yep.
and all the retcons. So,
and DC has been essentially remaking Crisis on Infinite Earths for 25 years
yep,
now.
Yep, that's why they're all called Crises.
Uh-huh.
And so after we get this farted out new universe, we get to Barbara Gordon's first major retcon.
Uh-oh.
And the major retcon that happens is that she's no longer the daughter of Jim and Barbara. Mom's name is Barbara mm-hmm. Gordon, but she's the daughter of Roger and Thelma Gordon. And when her parents die, much like Batman. And,
Jim's brother.
Excuse me. Yes.
Yep.
Jim adopts her. She's his niece. Uh-huh. And she becomes his adopted daughter. Mm-hmm. She calls him dad. It happens when she's young, you know, all that.
Yeah, and her younger stepbrother, James. Is the actual son of Barbara and Jim.
And Jim, yes.
Yep.
This gets retconned back to the original one where she's Jim's mm-hmm. biological daughter in a story called Secret Origins number 20, Batgirl and the Golden Age, Dr. Midnight, in 1987, so not 2 years later.
But they did this because of Batman Year One.
Yes, they did. To honor that, to honor the new timeline. I understand why they did it. I don't like it. More on that in the discussion.
Well, see, what happened, just to explain this a little bit,
is
when Crisis on Infinite Earths, when the farted out universe happened, it kind of what happened in New 52, it shortened the timelines.
It did, yes.
So
most of the retcons, most of the major crises do that.
Yes, so you know, we thought that this universe had existed for like 20 years, that maybe Superman had been around for 20 years. And then suddenly it was like, no, Superman's brand new.
Yeah.
And but then what happened is, especially with any storytelling, is that George Perez was working on Wonder Woman at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that Wonder Woman hadn't journeyed to the man's world yet. So it was like, well, wait a minute. She can't found the Justice League. Wait, you know, and so it caused all these problems. And then Frank Miller made Year One. And in Year One, he made Jim. Jim just had a little baby.
He was quite young. At that point.
Yeah, and Jim was really young, and Batman was like maybe 25.
Yeah.
And so Barbara would need to be like 12 or 13 years old in this story.
Yeah.
But by doing that, that would make Jim Gordon really old.
Or he would have had to be a teen dad. And we weren't going to do that.
Yeah. And so by making her adopted, we get around that little timeline thing. It's the same thing as in now in the New 52, which I'm not too happy with. Every Robin only had like a year.
Yeah. And Tim was never Robin.
Yeah.
Interesting fact, the lady who re-retconned Barbara's origin back to the original was named Barbara Randall.
Oh, cool.
And
nice,
the caveats that she adds to Barbara's origin is that she was saved by Batman as a child. So she grows up studying martial arts, memorizing Gotham City blueprints. She trains herself to be a star athlete and she studies hard. So she basically undergoes a similar version of the training Batman did, just with a more wholesome family background.
Okay, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
That's kind of cool.
Now we're going to talk about a story called Batgirl Special Number 1, published in July of 1989, written by a woman named Barbara Kessel.
Ah,
so there were two different Barbaras who wrote Batgirl.
And, wife of Carl.
And I just think that, I just think that's like kind of neat. And in this story, we get Barbara returning to her traditional role as Batgirl.
Okay.
And that's kind of why this special is significant. I'm sorry, my mistake. She retires Batgirl.
Okay.
So in 1988... Barbara's a grown-up again. She's like, I'm not going to be Batgirl anymore. Aww. I'm going to be a grown-up person.
Aww.
And then later that same year of 1988, we get a little story that's not too popular and not read by everybody who thinks the Joker is the coolest thing ever, called The Killing Joke.
That was sarcastic, right?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
I used to work in two comic book stores.
Just making sure.
It was written by Alan Moore with art by Brian Bolland. And
the crazy wizard, Alan Moore.
Yes, and I will say that the story deserves all the hype it gets.
It
does. It's well-crafted. It's interesting. It's difficult.
Well, thank you, Ashley. I'll try to do that.
Alan Moore scares the living daylights out of me.
It's because I'm a wizard.
the scary Radagast kind.
I'm a wizard, Ashley.
And for those who don't know, one of the main events of The Killing Joke is that the Joker goes to Jim Gordon's place where Barbara Gordon is, mm-hmm. and he shoots her through the spine.
And then she answers the door.
Yes.
As soon as she opens the door, the Joker shoots her through the midsection.
And then if you have tiny children, take them away in 3, 2, 1. May or may not rape her and take pictures.
And
show it to her father.
And he may or may not have raped Commissioner Gordon.
Yes.
That's implied as well.
Yes. You can bring your tiny children back.
Yep.
Now.
Okay.
So
Batman gets dark in the 90s.
This is 88.
But at the end of the 80s and 90s, Batman gets dark.
It gets his most dickish. Yes, we get Dick Bruce Wayne, and we get scary, scary stuff going on. But so the important thing about this, as far as Barbara is concerned, is she becomes paralyzed. And Alan Moore has stated in several different places that he was surprised that DC editorial let him get away with crippling Barbara in this way, because he and many other people thought that this was kind of the end of her. She'd retired from being Batgirl, and what more was she going to do? But enter Kim Yell and John Ostrander.
Wait. I thought.
No, you got to leave now. Go away.
Alan Moore must say his piece.
No. And definitely not.
No, damn it.
And they found this treatment of Barbara distasteful. So have many other people over the years. And so they thought that they would revive her as a disabled character.
In what book? Do you know? I know.
I will tell you in a minute.
Can I say?
If you want.
Suicide Squad.
Do you know the issue number? Because I do.
I'm going to guess.
Okay.
I'm going to guess. I know the cover. It's Barbara Gordon in her wheelchair on a black cover pointing a gun at the camera.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 16.
You are too early, my friend.
Oh, is it 8?
You are too early, my friend.
Okay, sorry.
It means you got to go later.
23.
You're so
just tell me.
Close. It's 23.
Oh, was it 20?
Yeah. So yes, Barbara Gordon as Oracle first appears in Suicide Squad number 23. We're going to talk more about Oracle in the discussion.
Let me tell you this real quick. Okay, if you're excited for that Suicide Squad movie coming out, that run, the original run of Suicide Squad, it runs for John Ostrander. It's all in Comixology. A great, great read. If you want to read one Suicide Squad run before that movie comes out, that's the run to read.
That's the one to read. I mean, it's heralded as being the best Suicide
Squad. It is the best
Suicide Squad. And I'm sure we'll talk about it in our upcoming Suicide Squad episode when that movie comes out. At that point, we do meet Oracle, we do meet Barbara Gordon, and she anonymously leads Task Force X for the government. They don't know that she is Barbara Gordon.
Which is awesome.
Although she reveals her identity as Barbara Gordon to her teammates in Suicide Squad number 30, so she gets about 7 issues.
Why?
Excuse me, which was published in 1990. So now we are at the year of my birth, the 90s.
Hey!
In issue 40, Amanda Waller invites Barbara Gordon to be a regular member of the team, not just this kind of auxiliary member. And this is a big deal because Barbara's disabled, and she's presented with an opportunity to be an equal and a leader, even though it's maybe not to the best team ever.
Yeah, sure.
But it's a pretty significant choice, you know, given kind of how her character is at this time. Denny O'Neil is responsible for making Oracle Batman's sole source of information. This happens in 1992 in a story called Batman, Sword of Azrael, number one.
Sword of Azrael?
Yeah.
Do you know who drew that issue?
No.
Joe Quesada.
I was like, Rob Liefeld?
The creator. That 90s. Is also the first appearance of Jean-Paul Valley.
Yes.
Azrael.
Yes. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Azrael?
Jean-Paul Valley is a crazy guy with blonde hair and a ponytail who was trained by these assassins called the Order of St. Dumas, or Dumas.
Dumas. After Alexandre Dumas.
To basically kill people. So he hears a voice in his head that tells him to kill people. And
he's Joan of Arc.
Batman, one day, was like, I might need a replacement. And do I pick Dick Grayson, the guy who I trained?
No.
I'm going to pick this crazy assassin guy, Jean-Paul Valley.
And it's interesting because...
And Jean-Paul Valley was the, vigilante Azrael.
Yes, Azbats, as we like to call
him.
Well,
he'll eventually become Azbats.
Yes. The interesting thing about this is that it pretty much cements that Azrael's not as smart as Batman.
He's a thug.
Because he needs Oracle to guide. Oracle will go on to lead Bruce Wayne and all the rest of the Batman to come. But it's interesting that she's kind of introduced in order to help Azrael reach his full potential. Because she's better than him.
Yeah, she's totally smarter than him.
Yell and Ostrander also tell the story of Oracle in 1995's Oracle Year One, which was part of the Batman Chronicles Volume 5.
I remember the Batman Chronicles.
And this is literally, it's her origin. Barbara has become depressed as a result of her paralysis because who wouldn't? Although she soon realizes that her intellect and aptitude for study and information gathering and with computers makes her a valuable asset in crime fighting. So she's like, you know what? I was a vigilante once. This is what I can still offer this community. I'm good at what I do.
Great.
And she does it.
Great Barbara.
Barbara is the best.
She is?
And yes. And the name Oracle comes from the Oracle at Delphi. If you don't know who the Oracle at Delphi is, Delphi is a place in Greece where a bunch of gas would come out of the ground and young virgins, I think they killed you when you were 20, would go and they would smell the gas and they would hallucinate and they would supposedly prophesy to people. And so the Oracle at Delphi appears to Barbara in a dream. So she names herself Oracle in that honor, and the kind of blank face that you see floating in the screen, you know, when she's Oracle talking to people through the computer, is supposed to be based on the Oracle at Delphi, the Delphic Oracle's visage. Little bit of a history lesson outside of comics
but that
history.
Visage changes later.
It does, and it changes from artist to artist. Yes. But the idea of the floating face, that's an Oracle at Delphi thing.
But the iconic one comes from a certain artist in a certain run, which I'm assuming you're going to touch on, so I'm not going to say anything about it.
You can say something about it if you want.
There is an Oracle head that is very... probably the most iconic one. It is green, and it has little lightning bolts on the head,
yes.
And its face.
It's got kind of half-closed eyes.
Yep, and there's an Easter egg for it in Batman Arkham Knight. That was a symbol designed by Howard Porter,
yes.
In Grant Morrison's JLA run, because he made Oracle a member of the JLA.
Yes. We can talk about that now, because that's kind of all I'm going to say about it, really.
Oh.
Sorry. We're like 40 minutes in, and I got to truck through the rest of the history. This is why I love Barbara Gordon, up to the 90s, does a lot.
Yep.
After that.
Because she's involved in every Batman crossover event, and the 90s was full of them.
Yes.
Because DC saw, sorry to interrupt again.
No, please.
DC saw that Death of Superman made the cash, and so they're like, what can we do to Batman? Break his back. What can we do to Superman? There's four of them. What can we do to Gotham City? Earthquake.
That's a great event, and that's the one where Dick proposes to Barbara. Mm-hmm.
No.
Or they decide they can't get married.
Yeah. He doesn't propose to her until Infinite Crisis, which is later on.
Yeah,
about 20.
We won't talk about
that. Yeah. What can we do to Clark Kent? Kill him. You know, I mean, there was an event once a year. Batman had something happen to him or his city. Like, it was like,
oh yeah,
a
then
disease.
Bruce Wayne murderer.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne murderer, and Oracle was involved in every one of those.
Yes, and the great thing about JLA is you have given the control of the most powerful super team in the world, and all of the information that they're being fed to a disabled girl,
yep.
In a wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty amazing.
And fun fact. Prometheus, who was a villain of the JLA,
yes.
Grant Morrison invented, he was like supposed to be the evil sort of Batman or whatever, because Justice killed his parents. It wasn't never quite clear. He, during one of the storylines, directly targeted Barbara,
yes.
Oracle, because he said a line. He was like, I need to take out the most powerful member of the JLA. And then he broke into her watchtower.
Yes.
So you were
we'll
just
talk
like,
a little bit about it.
Yes.
That.
You were like, oh, she's the most powerful member, huh?
How fascinating. It's a very progressive idea for comics in the 90s, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
So a little bit back to Oracle Year One. Barbara trains with Richard Dragon and how to use a scream of sticks to defend herself, inspired, of course, by Nightwing.
Do you know who Richard Dragon is?
A guy who trains people in the DC universe.
Richard Dragon is a master of kung fu, and he lives in Nanda Parbat, and he trained two of the most famous
Batman's
pulp heroes in the DC universe.
Batman's.
Nope.
Blue Beetle.
Vic Sage, The Question.
Oh.
And Ramay Montoya,
The Second Question.
That's a Richard Dragon. Yeah, he is. He's a kung fu Obi-Wan of the DC universe.
Yeah. He's kind of, he always kind of reminds me of,
and he's a redhead.
I can't remember. He always reminds me of Iron Fist. I know he's not the same, but he always makes me think of Iron Fist. So now we're going to talk about Chuck Dixon, because
yeah.
We love Chuck Dixon here.
Well, we've
on the
been
podcast.
Talking about him for a while, if we're in the 90s.
Yeah, we are. But now we're specifically going to talk about his 1996 miniseries called Black Canary / Oracle : Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey.
Yes, this spun out the regular Birds of Prey title that has kind of been on and off throughout DC publication history since then, and inspired a really bad TV show.
It's really bad.
It's like amazingly bad.
Mm-hmm.
And during the Birds of Prey series under him, which was later taken over by Gail Simone, this series is built on Barbara and Dinah's close personal friendship that mirrors Oracle and Black Canary's shared leadership of this team.
Cool.
This is a relationship that's carried over into the current Batgirl and Black Canary and Batman series. It's something that I really, really like. I like the use of mirror plots. This is one of the big places that it comes from Barbara Gordon. And then Gail Simone comes on and like shoves Huntress into the team for no reason. Mm-hmm. And it kind of suffers for it because it offsets the balance, in my opinion. Cassandra Cain, Batgirl, also becomes a part of this team.
So do other a lot of other characters too.
Yes, but she's the main one. Because I'm going to talk about Cassandra Cain because in the year 2000, the first Batgirl solo title was launched. In the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
It took 60 years.
60 years.
To get a Batgirl title.
Batgirl title.
And it wasn't Barbara Gordon.
No, it wasn't.
And I love Cassandra Cain, but like the fury that abuses me with is out of this world. Okay. Like it makes me, because I think that we'll talk about what I think about Barbara as Batgirl versus Barbara's Oracle in discussion, but I just think that her character as Batgirl like so deserved to have a solo title.
Totally. Yeah.
And just Batgirl in general deserved to have a solo title before the 21st century? Like, what? Mm-hmm. Come on!
Yeah, totally.
Come on, DC. Now we're going to skip ahead to Batman War Games.
Okay.
Can you tell us a little bit about Batman War Games? Three sentences or less.
Three sentences or less.
I'm going to... this is so great when you do this.
Okay. Stephanie Brown, spoiler, misreads one of Batman's plans and causes a giant gang war that eventually kills one of Tim Drake's girlfriends. Then she gets killed herself. The end.
If only she'd stayed dead.
There you go.
So there's this bad guy.
Sorry, it wasn't funny. There was no farting out of universe.
It was not. Stephanie Brown farted out of existence.
I like War Games. It goes on a little bit too long. It's a little bit, it's like maybe like 10 issues too long, but I still enjoy it.
I would agree. It's kind of like when you read Contagion and then you read Cataclysm.
Yeah.
Like there are really good parts, but there are also like really crummy parts, but you wind up reading them all because you want to keep reading it.
Well, it's because like all those events led into the next event. So like when you start one, you want to keep on going.
And then you're like, oh, I'm disappointed now.
Until you get to No Man's Land, you're like, it's all awesome.
Oh, yeah. No Man's Land is the bomb. Mm-hmm. We're not actually going to talk about No Man's Land, but it's the bomb. So there is a Batman villain during War Games named Black Mask.
Yep.
Black Mask is trying to take down Batman. So Black Mask...
he's a gangster that wears a black skeleton mask.
Yes. In a story that sounds distressingly similar to what happens in JLA, we'll go, how do I hurt Batman? I will take down Batman's information. So he gains control of Oracle and Oracle's computers.
Uh-huh.
And Batman is going to kill him. So in order to keep that from happening, Barbara is forced to blow up her computers and destroy the clock tower that she's based out of.
Mm-hmm, in Gotham.
Yes, because she doesn't want Batman, who is very much like a father figure to her, to commit this ultimate sin, which he never will because he's Batman. And as a result of this, and because she's very distressed, she moves to Metropolis to get away from Batman and pal around with Superman for a hot second.
I actually like Oracle in Metropolis.
I think it's weird.
Have you read a lot of those stories?
Not a lot of them, but I've read them.
It's an interesting change of pace, and I kind of think it's kind of cool.
Just to me... almost as much as Batman.
Excuse me.
Barbara Gordon.
I'm getting over a cold, everybody, so that's why you keep hearing me cough. I apologize.
Barbara Gordon so belongs to Gotham City. So I think putting her in Metropolis.
What, you think like she's like an object? Like a city can own her, Ashley?
Oh my God, you found me out. I need to rant about Ant-Man again. So I just think like her going to Metropolis is interesting, but I do think it's weird.
Okay.
Then in almost right after War Games, in a Birds of Prey story called The Battle Within in 2005, written by Gail Simone, she becomes possessed by Brainiac.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And it's weird.
It is weird.
And this is the beginning of Gail Simone flagging that someday Barbara's going to walk again. Because when she's possessed by Brainiac, she can like move her toes and stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's really the only important thing about that storyline. It looks really like when they draw her.
It was one of the last storylines right before the New 52.
Yeah. It looks really cool, but it's like really stupid.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Barbara does not return to Gotham from Metropolis until Battle for the Cowl in 2009. Mm-hmm. Battle for the Cowl is when Bruce Wayne is presumably dead and all of the various Robins are fighting over who's going to take up the mantle.
Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't want to take up the mantle. So when she's during her time in Metropolis, she disbands the Birds of Prey because the series got canceled. And then just like in the Silver Age, not a lot happens until the New 52.
The New 52.
When DC farted out a new universe.
No, the Flash farted out a new universe.
Well, because he missed his mom.
Can I explain this in three sentences?
Please.
Here we go. Barry Allen gets weepy for his mommy. He runs so fast to hug his mommy that he basically shatters the entire space-time continuum and resets a universe with costumes with lots of lines on them.
This is single-handedly why I don't like Barry Allen.
Flashpoint.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I actually like a lot of the New 52, so it's all good.
I do, too. I do, too.
I think it was the right move to do.
Yes. I just think the story that did it was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to Flashpoint fans out there.
It should have been Final Crisis.
Yes.
A little bit inside nerdery there for you.
So for those who don't know, the New 52 is set 3 years after The Killing Joke. Just go with it, okay?
Okay.
Because here's the thing about the New 52, like Crisis on Infinite Earths,
the timeline's
a little bit really weird.
So Superman's only been Superman for 5 years, Batman's been Batman for 6 years.
And Barbara Gordon was shot 3 years ago.
3 years ago, got
it. Yeah. Not that it's set in like 1992.
No.
But that those events had happened mm-hmm. 3 years prior. And Barbara, written by Gail Simone. Barbara regains the use of her legs after undergoing an experimental surgery in South Africa.
Yep.
She suffers PTSD in a big bad way, in a way that I would critique as being written by someone who doesn't truly understand what PTSD does to people. And then she gets another soft reboot just earlier this year at the time of the recording of this podcast.
By which creators?
Brendan Fletcher, Cameron Stewart, and Babs Tarr.
And I think that this other soft reboot was a good decision.
I do too. All I'm going to really talk about, because it, like I said, it's still being published. It's only been out for a few issues now. Mm-hmm. Just got its first trade. At the time of this recording, they de-age her. Barbara's about, I would say like 25 in Simone's run. She is 20, 21.
She's young.
Yep.
Yeah.
She looks young. She looks like she's 19.
And now she's younger than Dick.
Yes, which is weird.
Yeah, because Dick Grayson, I think, in the New 52 is like maybe 23.
Maybe, yeah. Although I draw him like he's like 26.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a new costume that blew up the internet because it looks amazing.
Because it's immediately cosplayable.
And she moves to a new neighborhood called Burnside.
Which is an area of Gotham we've never heard about before.
Yep. And that's your history lesson on Barbara Gordon. We went a little long this week, but there's a lot of history.
Hey, Batgirl is a character with a lot of history. These characters like this, we need extra time. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do recommended reading.
Okay.
So my recommended reading, I wanted to give you listeners a Batgirl story and an Oracle story to check out.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I have some thoughts. I like both of these books a lot. Batgirl Year One by Scott Scott Beatty. Sorry. And Chuck Dixon with art by Marcos Martin is my definitive Batgirl origin story.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
It's so good. It looks beautiful. You mm-hmm. can buy it packaged with Robin Year One, which is also amazing.
Robin Year One's one of the best Robin stories, too.
So that's worth picking up either on its own. I think you can only get it paired together now.
In print, you can only get it together now. Yeah.
Yes, you can get it on the internet however you mm-hmm. want. And then I'm also going to recommend No Man's Land by Various. We didn't talk much about No Man's Land. No Man's Land, there's a big earthquake. The government's like, screw you, Gotham, and declares it a war zone. Well,
No Man's Land is basically what the Dark Knight Rises tried to do with Bane. When Bane blew up the bridges and like sectioned off the city, that's No Man's Land.
And Barbara stays with her father.
Excuse me.
She stays with Dick Grayson. She stays with her adopted family. And she holds them together.
Yeah, and all the villains get released, and it's basically a turf war in a city with no power.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first time we see the appearance of the new Batgirl costume.
Cassandra Cain, yep.
So you get to see Barbara starting to deal with the fact that someone else might take up her mantle, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I think that's really powerful. Do you have anything that you want to add?
That was going to be my recommended reading, too, is No Man's Land. And I think because issue number one of No Man's Land, written by Bob Gale, one of the screenwriters of Back to the Future, is narrated by Oracle. And I remember this issue very promptly, the very first issue. It's now they collected No Man's Land and complete issues in four volumes. Highly recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Really great. And I will just tell you, give you a little spoiler. On DCL Access, in the next week or in the far past, depending on how far in the future you're listening to this, we are doing a top 10 stories, top 10 Batman stories you've probably never read.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, No Man's Land. And I...
Really?
Well, here's the thing. I think if you only started reading comics in the 2000s, I don't think you have any idea what No Man's
right,
Land is.
Right, or after the New 52.
And here's the other thing. No Man's Land, I think, is important for the people that were reading Batman comics at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've come into Batman after then, I don't think you know what it is because they don't really advertise it. And to be honest with you, it was out of print
for a long time
until they made those collections like 2 years ago.
But here's the thing, the great thing about No Man's Land, Barbara Gordon aside, every character, even Huntress, who's not a character that I like, they get a utility. They get a purpose. They get a great arc. All of it looks beautiful.
And it was a solid year of every Batman title was set in this Gotham City. It was over. It's over like 95 issues.
And it's all good.
It slogs in the middle.
But I mean, for a run that long.
Yes. Volume 2, I would say, is the weakest of the four.
Yeah, but I think there's enough there to carry it through.
But yeah, it's one of my favorite Batman stories lines. Oracle is such an important part of it. If you've never read No Man's Land, go buy it.
Yeah. And then tell us how awesome you think it is after. Yep. I worked at various shops, I've never sold that to someone who didn't come back and buy Volume 2.
It's great. It's so engaging.
Yeah, it's amazing. Shall we move on to discussion?
Yes, the discussion part where the history lesson is all over. So now we talk about things related to Batgirl.
About our feelings.
Yes.
Can I come back now?
No.
Alan Moore, never. You think? No.
You can come back for Swamp Thing.
I can come back for Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you how I shot a girl through the midsection. I'm a wizard. All right, I'll just leave.
All right, that's enough. He's gone.
I never know with you.
With Alan Moore? Who knows? He's a wizard.
Oh, my God.
Did you be heard? He's a wizard.
That's I've heard.
He's a very scary wizard.
I've heard.
Birds live in his beard.
And poo on him.
He's like Radagast.
I made that joke earlier today. Thank you.
All right, keep going.
So I kind of want to talk about Barbara Gordon as Oracle versus Barbara Gordon as Batgirl.
Okay.
Because I think that...
What would happen if they were actually in a fight? Well, it depends on how souped up Oracle souped up that wheelchair. Because she's got rockets.
It's exactly like Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. Well, it depends on all the machines she put in that wheelchair. Like, if she
and
got...
where her scream sticks are at.
If she's got a bazooka in that wheelchair, Batgirl's done. No, I'm certain that's not the question
you're
asking.
It's not. That's a great answer, though. Someone draw that for us. Because I think that, I mean, Seduction of the Innocent aside, trying to get new viewers to the Batman show aside, I think that Batgirl's a great addition to the Bat family. I think they do a lot of interesting things with Barbara and Dick's relationship, like as the brotherly, sisterly thing, as the tacit romance, as the actual romance. Like, I think they do a lot of interesting stuff with her, and that's inherent in a female character without making her feel too much like a stereotype and, like, too foolish. And I think she's an important... I think she's just an important character, and I think she's
more important than Batwoman, at least.
Yes.
The original Batwoman.
Yes, and I think she's a great logical continuation of the family, like, more than Huntress or friggin' spoiler. But I think, like we said earlier, like, the fascinating thing about Oracle is that you've taken a character, a female character, you've disabled them, and you've given them more power than anyone in the DC universe. And I actually think that them returning her mobility takes away the most interesting part of her and her strength in a really weird way. And I also think that it maybe speaks a little bit to the way that we view disabled people as well.
So is there a question there?
So my question is,
your statement was great. I'm sorry. I don't mean to diminish you at all.
Look, I was up really early this morning.
It's okay.
I was on set today. I'm tired. There is a question. Do you think that they should have returned her to being Batgirl? Do you think she's better as Oracle?
She's better as Oracle.
Yeah?
Hands down.
If they gave you Batgirl, would you cripple her again?
Yeah. Yes, I would. Would I be able to? No. They
absolutely not.
They will.
They're sticking to that company line.
Yeah. They will never let her be crippled again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put it right now. They brought her back. They will never let it happen again. Because... They took away Wally. They took away Kyle.
Wally came back in Flash Annual Volume 3.
Whatever. But they're back to the purest forms of those characters. Mm-hmm. That's why Barbara Gordon will now stay Batgirl.
Yeah.
Forever. Well, until like we get further enough down the road.
Although I will say, I don't know if you know this because I don't know how into the new Batgirl series you are. She has a new roommate named Frankie, who's an African-American girl who is also has problems walking. And she is becoming... She's a programmer. she's kind of becoming Barbara's Oracle.
So they're making a pseudo Oracle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She doesn't have a code name yet.
But that's smart writing.
I think so, too.
That's smart writing because what you're doing there is you're fulfilling the need of fans like us being like, well, she should be Oracle. Well, you're being like, well, yeah, but you get Batgirl and you get Oracle. It's the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
That's actually very smart writing by Brendan Fletcher and...
Cameron Stewart.
That's great. Smart. Smart dudes, those fellas. And Brendan Fletcher, very nice guy.
Very nice fellow Canadian.
He's a very, very nice fella. We met him in person, so he's very nice. Oracle is the better character because when she's Batgirl... she's just like every other vigilante.
Mm-hmm.
When she is Oracle, and I've actually been told this in person by a disabled person, she is such an amazing figurehead for that group, advocate for that group. And to be honest with you, when I was growing up and I was reading that character, I never thought that. And I never really, it like, never really entered my head until about, like, 5 years ago when I heard that. Actually, I think on Twitter when, like, when she first, when they first revealed that they were going to, like, make her Batgirl again. And everybody was like, I remember seeing online people being like, why are you taking away the person in comics that looks like me?
But I would also ask you then, as Jason, neither Jason nor I are disabled people, but, you know, as someone who's not disabled, do you ever look at her and go, like, oh, that's cute, she's disabled, she's really trying? No, she's just a really cool... character with a lot of power. It's like Matt Murdock. You don't look at Matt Murdock and go like, oh, he's disabled, he's really trying,
that blind guy.
Yeah,
I don't know. No, I never did. And I don't know, like, she just serves, she has a purpose to the Batman universe as their information dealer. That's way more important than her just being like, oh, I can punch this guy too, Batman.
Yeah, and we have Cassandra Cain for that, who we're not doing anything with.
Who we're not doing anything with, except that they're bringing her back in Batman and Robin Eternal.
Yeah.
Which you might be reading right now if you're listening to this in the future.
Hello, future people.
I don't know. That's it, Oracle.
Is that your whole thought?
Yeah, yeah. Do you agree?
I do. I mean, I love the 90s Bat family. I want me some Oracle. Do you think we're ever going to see Barbara Gordon show up on Gotham? Do you think we'll get that far into the future?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. There is a Barbara on Gordon right now.
It's Barbara Keene.
Yes.
It's her mother.
And they, well, we
well,
don't.
If it, we oh, don't, it depends we, on the universe.
Yeah. Spoilers. The end of season one, she goes crazy and tries to stab Leslie Tompkins.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen those
so
pictures.
So they're kind of like leading her as a villain. So she may not be the Barbara that's the mother of Barbara.
Oh.
I don't know, because to be honest with you, I don't see how Gotham works without time jumps.
I agree.
I think Gotham eventually has to time jump, so...
I just think we're way more likely to see her there than we are to see her in the movie universe.
I actually don't think we're going to see her on Gotham.
I'm actually really hoping that we get Oracle in the Teen Titans, or the Titans.
The Titans show?
Yeah, I think that would be really cool.
Isn't there an Oracle in the breakdowns? I thought there was. Am I wrong?
There are. It's rumored to be.
Ah, okay.
You know, whoever's seeing the breakdowns.
To be honest with you, I actually think we'll see her in the movie universe.
Yeah?
I really
do. Do you think Jenna Malone is not the Carrie Kelly?
I think she is Carrie Kelly. I think Jenna Malone in Batman v Superman is Carrie Kelly. I think, I don't know anything. This is pure speculation.
This is just us talking.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that Robin's suit belonged to Jason Todd.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nightwing, Dick Grayson, is out there.
I hope we just see him.
I think
I will like lose my mind if we just see
him. I don't think you'll see him. I think they'll mention him. Or you'll see another Batman, another Robin suit. So you'll see a Robin suit that's fine, a Robin suit that's screwed up, and that's the Jason Todd one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Jenna Malone is Robin number three, Carrie Kelly, and I think Barbara will get a mention.
Interesting.
Because in this universe, Commissioner Gordon's dead.
Yeah.
And killed by the Joker.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Barbara Gordon's out there somewhere. I here's the thing. I think we will get a Easter egg to her in Batman v Superman. If we don't, we'll get an Easter egg to her in the first Batman solo movie. I think Barbara Gordon is our direct connection to Jim Gordon, who is dead in this universe.
They bring her into Justice League.
Here's the crazy thing. Here you go. Here you go. What if Barbara is the lead cop of Gotham now?
Ooh, that'd be really interesting.
What do you think about, how would you think about that? It would be, it would, here.
It would be different. It would be more like the animated series universe.
Yes, it would be, well, in Batman Beyond, Barbara is the commissioner.
Yes.
How great would it be to take the Gordon Batman dynamic and twist it?
Oh, that'd be so cool.
And because I can tell you right now, the reason they killed Commissioner Gordon is because of Gotham. They didn't want to double it.
Now I'm like, who do we cast as her?
Yeah. So make Barbara in her, maybe she's 30 years old.
Yeah.
And she's not a commissioner, but let's say she's a captain.
Yeah.
She's like Maggie Sawyer.
And we get the girl who played Ava Unjustified to play her.
And sure. And she turns on the bat signal in the solo Batman movies.
Oh my God. That would be so cool.
What an interesting twist, that dynamic.
That would be so cool. And then when she turns on her computer, there's some program that says Oracle.
And then when that 26-year-old vigilante with a blue stripe across his chest flips across her rooftop, she's like, nice butt.
Played by Matt Bomer. Oh my God, I would die. That would be so amazing.
Yeah, right?
Okay, we're over an hour now, so I think I'm going to move right on to my teaching tweet.
Did we discuss everything you needed to discuss?
Yeah, the only other thing I was going to do, we kind of talked about earlier about, like, do we like the retcon of her not being Gordon's daughter? But we were both kind of like, no, she should be Gordon's daughter.
She should be Gordon's daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear your teaching tweet,
where
the professor of the lesson tells you everything you need to know about Batgirl in 140 characters or less that we sometimes and sometimes don't tweet. Actually, on Twitter.
Barbara Gordon, : much like # the Little Mermaid, she had to give up her legs to save the day. # Batgirl of Burnside.
You took it to Little Mermaid territory. Okay. All right.
The Little Mermaid's amazing.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, I'll believe you.
I know you hate... Prince Eric is the hottest Disney prince.
I don't like Little Mermaid. All right, so sorry.
So, right. That's it. That's all I got
that's
about Batgirl.
It for Batgirl. Thank you so much for an excellent lesson, Ashley. Yay!
Thanks.
Clap along with me, listeners. That's it for this podcast of Geek History Lesson on Batgirl. If you want to hear a little bit more Batgirl discussion, Geek History Lesson Extra is over on the Patreon for all our $5 patrons
higher.
Or higher. You get to listen to a little bit more Batgirl talk. Patreon.com/Jawin, JAWIIN. Help support this podcast. Please go subscribe and download this podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And please leave us a review over there because it helps other listeners find this podcast just like you. Ashley, we are on social media.
We are.
Like an oracle, where can they find us?
They can find us at geekhistorylesson.com and facebook.com/geekhistorylesson.
Where we have fun facts every day, and sometimes we share the web series, the weekly web series that comes out every Monday called The Red Shirt Diaries, our Star Trek parody web series that stars Ashley, that was co-written by Ashley and me and directed by me.
And that Jason is in almost every episode of.
Every Monday at youtube.com/Jawin, which is also the same place that you can find the video Geek History Lessons.
What?
Right now, it's just a singular image with this podcast underneath. But eventually, we hope to make it a full video where you see us talking back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Where can they find you on Twitter if they just want to complain about you?
If they want to just send me Batgirl pictures, they can find me at Ashley V. Robinson. Mm-hmm. And where can they find you if they want to send you pictures of Nightwing's butt?
They can send me pictures of Nightwing's butt at Jawin, JAWIIN. Well, that's it. For Geek History Lesson, Ashley, any final words on Batgirl?
Barbara Gordon Batgirl is amazing.
That's right. She is pretty amazing. She's quite amazing.
Think she's quite amazing.
Go home, Alan Moore.
No.
Start swimming. You're out the Pacific.
Oh, I'm going to be a long swim. It's a good thing I'm a wizard.
I want to know why Alan Moore sounds a lot like Ringo Starr.
And you'll never know, because that's it for Geek History Lesson. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Professor Ashley, please close out the podcast.
That's me shooting the batarang and swinging away. Sound effects. The joke's not funny if you have to explain it, Harley.
Class dismissed.